want to turn your attention today in God's Word to the Psalm number 44. The Psalm number 44. And at the beginning of the Psalm, there is a title, the Psalm 44, to the chief musician for the sons of Korah, Maskil. And the psalmist says, "We have heard with our ears, O God. Our fathers have told us what work thou didst in their days in the times of old. How thou didst drive out the heathen with thy hand and plantest them. How thou didst afflict the people and cast them out. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword. Neither did their own arm save them. But thy right hand and thine arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou hast the favour unto them. Thou art my king, O God. Command deliverances for Jacob. Through thee will we push down our enemies. Through thy name will we tread them under that rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. But thou hast saved us from our enemies, and hast put them to shame that hated us. In God we boast all the day long, and praise thy name for ever. Selah. But thou hast cast off, and put us to shame, and goest not forth with our armies. Thou makest us to turn back from the enemy, and they which hate us spoil for themselves. Thou hast given us like sheep appointed for meat, and hast scattered us among the heathen. Thou sellest thy people for naught, and dost not increase thy wealth by their price. Thou makest us a reproach to our neighbours, a scorn and a derision to them that are round about us. Thou makest us a byword among the heathen, a shaking of the head among the people. My confusion is continually before me, and the shame of my face hath covered me. For the voice of him that reproacheth and blasphemeth, by reason of the enemy and avenger. All this has come upon us, yet have we not forgotten thee, neither have we dealt falsely in thy covenant. Our heart does not turn back, neither have our steps declined from thy way. Though thou hast sore broken us in the place of dragons, and covered us with the shadow of death, if we have forgotten the name of our God, or stretched out our hands to a strange God, shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. Yea, for thy sake are we killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Awake, why sleepest thou, O Lord? Arise, cast us not off forever. Wherefore hidest thou thy face, and forgettest our affliction and our oppression? For our soul is bowed down to the dust, our belly cleaveth unto the earth. Arise for our help, and redeem us for thy mercy's sake." Amen. And again today we know God will bless the reading of his word to our hearts for his name's sake. We want to just take a moment to seek the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord to speak to us through his word, and even to help us to take that time in our own homes afterward to seek the Lord in prayer. Normally we'd be gathering at our midweek service to seek the Lord together in prayer, and in our own homes we can set aside that time even to seek the Lord for his help and his blessing even in these days. Father, we thank thee that we can draw near once again to thy throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We acknowledge our needs as individuals. We acknowledge the needs of our families. We bring to thee the needs of our nation, our province, the Zion. We bring to thee the need of our churches, our congregations, the need of thy work at home and abroad. And we pray that thou wilt come and again in these days, that thou wilt intervene, that thou wilt remember those that are laid aside, whether in hospital, at home, in nursing homes. Remember those who seek to care for them. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt even grant healing of bodies, grant preservation of life, grant comfort to the mourning. And we pray that thou wilt come and send even a spiritual awakening, send a little breath of revival, times of refreshing from thy presence, that others will seek thee while thou art to be found, call upon thee while thou art near, and as your people, that we might be drawn closer to thee, that we might be the best that we can be for thee. Teach us to pray. Guide us even now through thy word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In this psalm, the Psalm 44, the writer addresses God as his king in the verse 4. He says, "Thou art my king, O God." And of course, as we read through the whole book of Psalms, we find the Lord being referred to as the king. For example, the king over all the earth. In other words, the one who is sovereign. Therefore, all other kings and rulers are under him. We read also that he is king forever, not just king for a limited time as the monarchs of this world. The Lord Jesus is set before us in the Psalm 2 as God's king. God has set his king upon his holy hill of Zion. And in Psalm 24 we read of Christ as the King of glory. He is, of course, the King of kings and Lord of lords. And someday he will return to this earth and every knee shall bow to him. But in this Psalm 44, one of the ways in which God is addressed by the psalmist is in these words, "Thou art my king." I wonder, can you say that the Lord is king of your life? Now in verse 8 of the psalm, the psalmist declares that God is the one that he is able to boast in all the day long, the one whose name he praises forever and ever. Many years later, the Apostle Paul would write to the church in Galatia. In Galatians 6 verse 14, he would say, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." So the psalmist is saying in this psalm, God is my king. God is the one I can boast in. God is the one that I can praise. And also in this Psalm 44, down in the verse 21, the psalmist acknowledges that God is the all-knowing God, the one who knows even the secrets of the heart. He says in verse 20, "If we have forgotten the name of our God, or stretched out our hands to a strange God, shall not God search us out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart." God is the all-knowing one. All things are known to him. Nothing can be hidden from him. Remember Peter in John 21 verse 17, when the Lord Jesus had asked him, "Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me more than these?" And when for the third time the Lord Jesus asked Peter, "Lovest thou me?" Peter said, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." What a blessing it is to know this God as your God, your King, the one who knows all about you, the one who is worthy of your praise, the one in whom you can boast. And that is the case if you have turned from sin and trusted Christ as Savior. But in this Psalm 44, the psalmist is testifying to the fact that he and his people have not forgotten the Lord. They have not dealt falsely in his covenant. Their hearts have not turned back from him. Their steps have not declined from his way. And yet, the psalmist laments that despite their faithfulness to the Lord at that time, they were suffering affliction. And as we come to the psalm with that background, that context, I want us to consider two things. First of all, in this psalm, how the psalmist recalls what God had done in the past. The Psalm 44 opens with these words, "We have heard with our ears, O God. Our fathers have told us what work thou didst in their days in the times of old." And so the psalmist is calling to mind what he and his fellow countrymen have heard from their fathers concerning what God had done in the past. And of course, as you go down the psalm into verse 2, "How thou didst drive out the heathen with thy hand and plantest them, how thou didst afflict the people and cast them out." And he particularly focuses in upon what God had done in bringing the people of Israel into the promised land of Canaan, driving out heathen, planting the people in the land. And he goes on to recall how the people of Israel, they didn't get the land in possession by their own sword. It was not their own arm or power that saved them. It was God's right hand. It was God's arm. It was God's power. It was the light of his countenance. He had a favor unto them. He was showing his favor. He was demonstrating his power in bringing them into the land of Canaan, just as he had demonstrated his power in bringing them out of the bondage of Egypt. And of course, we can turn to the book of Joshua and read in more detail that which the psalmist is referring to, that which the psalmist is recalling, that which he had heard from his fathers. You remember in Joshua chapter 3 how God brought the people of Israel across the Jordan on dry ground. In Joshua chapter 6, you can read of how Jericho was taken, God causing the wall to fall down flat, enabling Israel to go in and take the city and utterly destroy it. God drove out the heathen with his hand. He planted them. And you know, when we think of those words, planted them, in another psalm, the psalm number 88, and the verse 8, the psalmist used similar language. "Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. Thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it." And then we think of the psalmist here in Psalm 44, recalling what God had done in the past, what his fathers had told him. We are reminded that it is God's purpose for his people that we recall his works in the past. And we tell them to the next generation. We must, of course, recall the great work of creation as it is set before us in the Word of God. We must call to mind the great work of redemption that is revealed to us in the Word of God. We must call to mind the works of revival and spiritual awakening, not only recorded in the Scripture, but down the years of time in our own land and nation, as well as throughout the world. God is the one who is working all things after the counsel of his own will. We may think too of, as in recent days, we remembered victory in Europe. We recall God at work, even bringing freedom and deliverance. You know, back in the book of Exodus, the chapter 12, down in the verse 25, when the Passover feast was being instituted as God was about to deliver his people out of the bondage of Egypt, we read of how the people were instructed that when they would come into the promised land, that they were to keep this service. It would come to pass that their children would say unto them, "What mean ye by the service?" And they were to say, "It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses." In other words, they were to recall every year what the Lord had done. And they were to teach their children and teach them what the Lord had done. You know, in Psalm 145 and the verse 4, Psalm 145 and the verse 4, we read about passing on from one generation to another what the Lord has done. Psalm 145 and the verse 4. "One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty works." When you turn over to the New Testament in the book of Acts in the chapter 7, when Stephen was brought before the Sanhedrin, you know, even before then, he outlined what God had done in their history, from the appearance of God to Abraham right through to the coming and to the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus as the Just One. And in our day, we have the same responsibility to our children, to our young people, to older folk, those who are reached by our congregations, by our own witness, to tell them what the Lord has done. Most of all, in His great plan of salvation, as revealed in the Word of God, and how God has continued to work down the years of time until the very present. He works still in our own lives as His people. He works in the hearts of others, saving souls, keeping those whom He saves, leading us on. Let us always take time. Indeed, every day we should meditate upon and give thanks to God for all His works. But the psalmist in this Psalm 44, as well as recalling what God had done in the past, and it is good to recall what God has done in the past, we see also in the second place that he requested God to work in the present. Now, of course, when I say that, I emphasize that God is always at work in this world. But for the psalmist here, as we read Psalm 44, for the psalmist and the people of Israel at this particular time, it did not seem that God was working in power to help them. And when you read from verse 9, right down to the verse 16, you will find the psalmist lamenting that God had cast them off. God made them turn back from the enemy. God made them a reproach to those around. And this brought confusion to the psalmist. He believed that the cause of this was not their unfaithfulness to God, as certainly was the case at other times, many times in the history of Israel. Many times God delivered them into the hand of their enemies because of their sin, because of their idolatry, because of their turning away from Him. But the psalmist on this occasion declares that they have been faithful to the Lord. In the verse 9 he says, "But thou hast cast us off, and put us to shame, and goest not forth with our armies." And when you come down to verse 17, he says, "All this has come upon us, yet have we not forgotten thee, neither have we dealt falsely in thy covenant." Verse 18, "Our heart is not turned back, neither have our steps declined from thy way." And he goes on in verse 20, "If we have forgotten the name of our God, or stretched out our hands to a strange God, shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart." So he's declaring, we have not been unfaithful, and yet all these things have come upon us. Indeed, in verse 22, he says, "Yea, for thy sake are we killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter." And those words are quoted by the Apostle Paul in Romans 8 and the verse 36. And in light of this, the psalmist is acknowledging that they had still a great need, therefore, to depend on the Lord. And he indeed was requesting that the Lord might work mightily again on their behalf. Verse 4 of Psalm 44, "Thou art my King, O God, command deliverances for Jacob. Through thee will we push down our enemies. Through thy name will we tread them under that rise up against us." And when you come down toward the end of the psalm, and indeed the very final verse of the psalm, he says in verse 26, "Arise for our help and redeem us for thy mercy's sake." In verse 23, "Awake, why sleepest thou, O Lord? Arise. Cast us not off forever." He was asking the Lord to demonstrate his power on their behalf now in the present, as he had done in the past. And again, for us, we can look back with thanksgiving to that which God has done in the past. But we need to plead with the Lord to demonstrate his great power in the present. In Gideon's day, in Judges 6 and verse 12, when the Lord appeared to Gideon and addressed him as a mighty man of valor and declared that the Lord was with him, Gideon asked why all that had happened to them did. if the Lord was with them. And he asked where were all the miracles which their fathers had told them of. Now, of course, in Gideon's day, there was sin among the people. There was that cause for God to forsake them and deliver them into the hand of the enemy. As I've said in this Psalm 44, the psalmist felt the Lord had forsaken them, even though they had been faithful to the Lord. Now, of course, the Lord doesn't forsake his people. But there are times he withdraws that sense of his presence and his mighty power. And the psalmist was asking God to work again on behalf of his people in the present. And we need to plead with the Lord to work mightily in these days, to revive us as his people, to restore the backslidden, and then to save precious souls. For in our day there is great sin. There is a forsaking of God and his ways. Thus we need to pray in wrath, remember mercy. In Psalm 119, in the verse 126, the psalmist prayed, "It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy laws." Those words are very up to date for today. It is time for thee, Lord, to work. They have made void thy law. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14, challenges us as God's people. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Only we, who are saved by God's grace, be enabled to humble ourselves in these days, to pray, to seek God's face, to turn from our wicked ways, that the Lord might hear from heaven, that he might forgive our sin, that he might heal our land. And so let us thank God for what he has done in the past. Let us plead with him to move now in the present. And so may the words of this psalm be written upon our hearts. May we take them to the Lord in prayer, and may we look to him for his blessing upon us in these days.